Now, I don't know about you, but when I see Walt Disney, I'm just happy. It just makes me so happy. It reminds me of childhood and growing up on Sunday nights watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and Walt Disney and on TV and eating popcorn and having a good time with the family. And Walt had vision. He was gifted and blessed with vision. If he didn't have a dream and a vision for Disney World and Epcot, it doesn't happen. And like he said, humbly, he said, this is just preliminary. This is the starting point. This is before they'd even put a shovel to the dirt in Orlando, in that part of Florida for Disney World or Epcot. But he had this dream. He had this vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. Walt Disney is one of those great leaders in the history of this country who had big dreams and big visions. Dreaming the dreams is easy. Celebrating the dreams once you get there is easy. Building the bridge in between is the tricky part. And we've always understood that here at Hope over the last 20 plus years. We've been blessed by God. God has blessed this church with a very clear and a very exciting vision for the future of Lutheran Church of Hope and through Hope to the world around us from the very beginning. And like Walt said to the Disney World audience back then, I'm saying to you today, over the next few minutes, I'm going to point you to some of the current preliminary sketches of the plans that we believe God has for us into the future. And they're really exciting. A lot of it is not just future-oriented, but in order to faithfully understand where we're headed, our vision, I think it's really important to understand where we've been and where we are. So it's appropriate that in this series of sermons called Here We Stand, where we're looking back at the history and the heritage of the Lutheran Church, it also shows us our identity and who we are. If we don't know who we are, we aren't going to understand where we're supposed to go. When I was a little kid, my mom would always say to me and to my brothers, and at the time it really drove us kind of crazy, but it was good. It was this good parenting. She said, remember, you're a householder. I don't care what all your other friends are doing. I don't care what everybody else is doing. You're a householder, which, you know, is no better than anything else. But she was telling us that means certain things. We had a certain identity that she and my dad gave to us and said, this is who you are. This is your identity. And if you know your identity, you're going to know your call. It's kind of hard for us to know God's purpose for our life and God's call for our life unless we understand who we are. So I want to invite you to take this little journey with me today where we take a closer look at our name, Lutheran Church of Hope, and the clear and exciting vision God has for us in the future. It's important because our Bible reading for today, Ephesians chapter 1, says this, verse 18. In fact, this is kind of a theme verse for all of Hope. Whatever screen that you can see right now, whatever campus you're at, let's take a look at these words and let's read them together. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people. This is Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus in the first century, and it's recorded in the New Testament. But it's equally so the prayer that anybody could have for any church, saying that I pray that you'd be flooded with God's love and the power of his love, this light that God gives us, so that you can understand the confident in the Greek of the New Testament means with faith, to walk with faith, that you'd have confidence that comes from your faith, and that this confidence produces hope. That's our name. Remember your hope. And in order to understand your calling, it's important for us to understand our identity. And our identity comes from the Holy Spirit, from God. Our confident hope comes from the one who has given this calling to us, his holy people. That's who you are. So let's take a look at our name. This is important because God is sending this blessing to us, this clear and exciting vision. We are a Lutheran Church of Hope. During the last 10 weeks, we've been focusing in on this, and it's exciting because next week is the actual 500th anniversary weekend of the whole entire Protestant Reformation. Led by Martin Luther and other reformers, this Reformation changed the world. Eric Metaxas, the great biographer and historian, just published a massive volume on Martin Luther, and he's been quoted now as saying that Martin Luther's the second most influential person in the last 2,000 years on planet Earth, next to Jesus. It's not just religious influence that Luther had. He changed the way we do education. He changed the way things, literature and the way things get published. He changed language in Europe. He changed government. He changed the way democracies work, all because of the influence he had in the writings that he put out. But let me be very clear on this. We do not worship this man. Just because we're a Lutheran Church of Hope, we don't even follow him. He would roll over in his grave if he found out a bunch of people called themselves Lutherans and followed him. We call ourselves Lutherans because we follow the Jesus he pointed us to. We follow the one he pointed us to. This is Luther's famous seal, which is really a symbol, a logo, if you will, for the whole Lutheran church over the last 500 years. He artistically designed this. This is a stained glass version of it. And please notice at the center of it all, at the literal heart of it all, is the cross of Jesus Christ. For Luther, who was fond of saying, and he wrote this often, I am nothing. Jesus Christ is everything. He wasn't trying to get a bunch of people to follow him. He was trying to get a bunch of people to follow Jesus. He was trying to point the church back to the centrality of Jesus Christ in our faith, and not a bunch of professional clergy or making it all about building cathedrals or getting distracted from the main thing, which is God's love poured out for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where did Luther get that? He got that from the Bible, which he translated into the everyday language of common people so they would have access to God. And so to be a Lutheran, to live up to our name as a Lutheran Church of Hope, doesn't mean to follow him. In fact, 99% of what Luther wrote was brilliant, world-changing stuff. 1% of what Luther wrote, particularly toward the end of his life, he might have been getting a little senile, to be honest, a little bit curmudgeon-y as he got a little bit older. 1% of it is downright embarrassing, humiliating for him. Absolutely should be thrown in the fire. It just horrendous, terrible stuff upon which the Lutheran Church has officially apologized over and over and over. But it doesn't matter because we don't follow him. We don't worship him. We simply embrace the 99% of what he wrote, which was reflecting the light of God's love and pointing us to Jesus Christ at the center of our faith. So to be a Lutheran doesn't mean to follow him. To be a Lutheran means to follow the one he pointed us to be Christ-centered, to be Bible-based, and when we open up the Bible, as Luther did for the whole world, it points us to the main point of Scripture, which is God's grace. His amazing grace poured out for you through the death and resurrection, the power of God's love in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That power is for you. It has the power to forgive your sins and my sins. It has the power to overcome our death. It has the power to overwhelm the darkness of evil with God's amazing light. Grace, Bible, Jesus Christ, that's what it means to live up to our name as a Lutheran Church of Hope. But we're not just Lutheran, we're a church. So what does it mean to be a church? Here's a picture of all of our church buildings here at Lutheran Church of Hope. I'd never seen all six together in one screen, so it was fun for me to put this together this week in preparation for the sermon. Here's our Johnston Grimes campus, an artist's rendition of what it's gonna look like. They're building it, just broke ground for it a few weeks ago. Hello, Johnston Grimes. About a year from now or so, a little less than a year, they're gonna be in this new building right off of Highway 141. Here's our Ames campus. That's not actually a building we built. We're renting it out. It's the old Ames High School, the Ames City Auditorium, right in the middle of the city of Ames. Although Ames, hello Ames, they're not worshiping there right now because it's reserved for somebody else. So they got bumped this Sunday, and they're worshiping in their new little office space called The Link, which is on the north side of Ames. So you're there for the first time, and that's very exciting. I hope you're having a great morning. Everybody on the count of three at all campuses, say, hello, Ames. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Ames.
There you go. We should say hi to everybody. Say hi, Johnston Grimes.
Hi, Johnston.
Say hi, West Des Moines.
Hi.
Well, that's you here, but then they're coming through the camera. It doesn't work. But anyway, here's this. Here's the Des Moines campus in the city right off of Ingersoll. Here's our Waukee campus. Hello to Waukee, who are watching live right now. There's the Ankeny campus, who are watching live right now. So that means I'm on your big white wall in Ankeny.
Hello.
I feel like the Wizard of Oz a little bit. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, but I'm glad to bring the gospel to you today. So here are our church buildings. And normally, if you ask somebody what's a church, they'll say, well, it's stuff like this. But these are the buildings. Biblically, these are the buildings where we meet. The buildings are important. It's effective for the sake of church life and for the sake of mission. that we have a place to gather, a place to meet for worship, for Bible study, for prayer, for fellowship, for meetings, to be the church, to plan, to organize, to look ahead. It helps the effectiveness of the mission of the church to have buildings to meet in. So that's biblical. The church would meet in buildings, in homes, in temples, and in places all throughout the book of Acts. So we can point to those and say, that's nice, these are the church buildings. But biblically, the word for church in the New Testament, the Greek word is ekklesia, the original word, and ekklesia doesn't have anything to do with a building. Ekklesia is you. You're the church. And the people sitting around you are the church. At whatever campus you're listening to me right now, or whatever local site, or watching online, anywhere around the world right now, you are the church. And the Bible says this in our Bible reading for today. That's where it ends. It says, you've been given the power of God's love so that you can go out and be the body of Christ. You come and you gather and you worship to breathe in the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit to encounter God, but then breathe out. If all we ever do is breathe in, that's not natural. We're going to pass out. But we're called to breathe out as well. That's church. Church is not a building you go to. This is just the church building. It's important, but you're the church. So whatever you do is what the church is doing. Whatever you say is what the church is saying. However you treat people is how the church is treating people. Whatever you do is the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And individually, you're members of it. What's in a name? Well, it identifies us. It identifies our nature and our character. It points us to our heritage and our past. And it opens up a window, providing a clear and exciting vision for our future. Well, if we're Lutheran, which means we're grace-based and Christ-centered and Bible-based, and we're a church, which means we breathe in God's grace so that we can breathe it out. The power of God's love for us transforms our souls and lives. And then we go out and reflect the light of that love to the world around us. Lutheran Church. But we call ourselves Lutheran Church of Hope. And for the rest of the sermon, I want to take the word hope and divide it into four parts, an H, an O, a P, and an E, to describe our identity and our character. For over 20 years, we've had a vision statement here at Hope that says, we exist so that we can become. We're on our way. In some ways, we've accomplished some of this. In other ways, we have a long way to go. But we're on our way. We want to become a spirited, growing, deep and wide, and Christ-centered community filled with hope. It's a Bible-based vision statement. And I want to spell it out for you in more specifics here by using the letters of our name, identifying our nature so that, and character so that we can answer God's call and live it out and fulfill the vision. Dreaming the dream is easy. Making it happen takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, but God calls us to it. With all due respect to Walt Disney's vision, which I love, I'm really glad he did it. Somebody had to build the happiest place on earth. The vision that God gives his church in the world today has more eternal consequences to it. What God has given to us is a way heavier responsibility. We're not just talking about building a nice place for people to hang out here. We're not just playing church. We're talking about becoming what the Bible says we're supposed to become, the hope of the world, the reflectors of God's transformational light and the power of his love. People who take it in and people who send it out. 2.2 billion strong. That's how big the church is in the world today. And too much of the church is fast asleep, apathetic, lethargic. You know what the Bible says about that? Wake up. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light upon you. Sleepers, awake, the Bible cries out. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light upon you. Understand, this is who you are. It's in your name. This is your calling because it's your identity. To be a Lutheran Church of Hope, to me it means, and biblically it means, that we are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're Holy Spirit filled. Everybody at every campus, and even if you're watching alone on Hope Online right now, say out loud, Holy Spirit filled, on the count of three. One, two, three.
Holy Spirit filled.
Now say it like you mean it. One, two, three. I don't know why. I just thought it would be fun to do it that way. If you hear that and you say, well, I thought this was a Lutheran church, though. So you're not going to talk too much about the Holy Spirit, are you? Because that's for those holy roller Pentecostal type churches. Because Lutheran churches talk about God as creator, father. Lutheran churches talk very comfortably, talk about God as savior. Theologically, we're in the lead. We understand atonement and redemption and theologies and all this. We wrote the books on these things. I mean, we're the ones who started the whole Reformation. So we're pretty academic and pretty good at God as father, first person of the Trinity, God as son, second person of the Trinity. Absolutely horrible at understanding biblically our identity and our call as it relates to God as the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We just fall short. I don't know exactly why that is, because as a Bible-based church like Lutherans, it's impossible to read the Bible, not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament. In the beginning of creation, guess who's hovering over the waters creating things? It's the Holy Spirit. One chapter later, when God takes the dead dust of the ground and breathes his ruach, the breath of life, the Spirit of God into it, that's the Spirit creating the first human beings. What's in a name? Well, in the name of the Holy Spirit, it's life giver. It's the one who takes dead things and makes them alive. It's the part of the Trinity who takes that which is sleeping and wakes it up, that which is old and makes all things new. What's in a name? The name Jesus biblically means the one who saves. What's in a name? The name of God biblically. When Moses asked him, what's your name? God said, my name is Yahweh, which means I am. I am right now, I always was, and I always will be. I'm eternal. We can learn a lot by understanding the meaning of the names of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this breath of life, the Holy Spirit, the prophets all throughout the Old Testament point to it and say, the new covenant, the New Testament is coming. And then on the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2, as it's described by Luke, as he writes this letter, he says, the Holy Spirit descended upon the church and the church was born. The fire, the power of God's love, that's what it is. The manifestations on the surface, those sometimes get too much attention. They're real, that happens. But they happen in the same way you get excited about something good that happens in your life. Iowa State wins again. Woo! Well, see, some of you can't contain yourself because you're so excited about it. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit fills you up with the power of God's love. And we're like, what? Oh, well, there you... You're scaring me a little bit, Lutherans. But this is who we are. You know what? Let's try that again. Because this time I do want you to think about what God has done for you and how the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the present tense, filling you up with the power of God's love so that you can know that you know there is a God and this God loves you. How do we respond to that? That's a big victory. And so the church says... Wow, that's almost a revival right there. I'm just going to let that be, and I'm going to move on in my notes and in my head. Next point in the outline. Okay, here we go. But there's evidence of this happening all around us, not just when the preacher says, hey, everybody say woo. Exhibit A happened, this is just the last 2 weeks around Hope, and this is just what I've seen. And I'm sure we could go through the whole alphabet of exhibits. Exhibit A, to show that the Holy Spirit, that this wave of revival is coming. You know, the psalmist cries out in Psalm 85, it says this wave of the ocean of the Holy Spirit, let it come. Revive us again, God. Revive us. Won't you revive us again, Lord, so your people can rejoice in you? It's happening. For the last few months, I've been saying a wave is coming. I'm telling you, those of you who hang out in the deep waters in the ocean are already feeling it. And you're already experiencing it. And it's coming. And it's already happening. It's here, and it's not yet, and it's continuing to grow. We're not talking about going out into the ocean. Have you ever been kind of just walking out into the waters of the ocean and you're kind of body surfing the waves? Woo, that's fun. Woo, that's fun. Woo, that's fun. And then God, in his sense of humor, suddenly out of nowhere sends a really big one and tumbles you. Whoa! That's what's coming. And those around Hope who hang out in the deeper waters are already feeling it. Surf's up, church. Get your boards. Make sure they're waxed, because I don't want you to miss this party. Exhibit A, the leadership conference that we had here at Hope just a couple of weeks ago. It gives you a new perspective. gives us who are here a new perspective. We have all these church leaders from all over the Midwest coming together. And they show up, and it's, you know, the conference is great. The speakers were great this year. The workshops were great. It was awesome. I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking about the conversations you have with these church leaders, you know, in between time. And for 3 days, I had all these different church leaders come up to me and say, do you realize how good you have it here? You walk into this place and you can just feel the Holy Spirit. You can just feel it. And do you realize how great your volunteers are here? I said, yeah, I do, actually. They're the kindest people. They take off work to show up to welcome us here and to show us around and to make sure that we've got everything we need. Do you know what we give for people like that? Will you please lend us some of these people so we can take them back to Wisconsin or to Nebraska or wherever they're from? They come here and they get inspired because they feel what maybe we've learned to take for granted, those of us who've been here for a while. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the power of God's love is here in this place, and he's in you, and he's moving through you. Sometimes it's a little pilot light, but sometimes the sleeper's awake and rise from the dead, and Christ shines his light on us, and that little pilot light goes to a full flame. That's what's starting to happen around here. Exhibit A are all these church leaders who are saying, oh, we feel it, and we're excited to take just a glimpse of that back to our churches and hope that it'll spark there. Exhibit B is the Alpha retreat we had this weekend. Just yesterday and the day before, Pastor Jeremy and I were teaching, and after one of our lessons or one of our talks, at the end, we invite people to come up and get communion and to pray. And normally at Alpha retreats, it's great. A lot of you have been at Alpha retreats, and a lot of people come up and pray. And a lot of people don't, and that's just, we get it. We understand. Not everybody's ready for it. But a lot of people are. So, you know, maybe half, maybe a third, whatever it might be, come up and get prayer. Well, there's 400 and some people at this retreat, right here in this room in West Des Moines. And I walk in and I'm thinking, oh no, we've overshot it. We had a prayer station up over here on this side of the building. And if you're at a different campus, you've never been here, there's a lot of space over there. They had, must have had 30 chairs in a circle over there for prayer. And then they had another 30 chairs over here on this side for prayer. And then they had prayer stations all the way around the back. There must have been 200 chairs set up for prayer. And I walked in and I thought, oh, I better tell somebody to cut that in half. Otherwise it's gonna get, you know, awkward. We're gonna have 30 chairs up there and 3 people sitting in them for prayer, and it's just gonna feel like, you were expecting this and you got that, but I didn't have time and I got distracted because I'm absent-minded and I didn't get to it. And so we got to the end of our talk and there's these chairs and they're inviting people to prayer. And the prayer is specific, inviting you to come and pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Kind of an intimidating prayer for Lutherans unless you spent a whole week studying what the Bible says about this. A whole weekend like we do at the retreat. At the end of our talk, I'd never seen anything like it. We had a 20 or 30 minute wait for people to get into that circle to pray over here, and another 20 or 30 minutes to get into that circle over there, and every prayer station in the back was filled, and people were waiting to get over there. I'm telling you, the wave is coming, because I need you to know that, and I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Listen to me. Sleepers awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light upon you. You don't want to miss this wave. You don't want to miss what God is doing. This is a party you're invited to. You want to come. You want to be here for this. Sign up for the next Alpha. Get involved in our prayer ministries. Get involved in a class. Activate your faith. Start serving in a ministry. Start serving in a mission. God's on the move. That's just Exhibit A and B. Exhibit C, the teenagers in this church, the students. Oh my goodness. Long story short, here's a picture of prayer and worship night on recently, last week or two at Hope Waukee. Johnston Grimes has done one. All of our campuses do ministries for junior and senior high students. Even Ames, the brand new campus. Way to go, Ames. We've got prayer and worship night here at the West Des Moines campus Wednesday night. And I walk into the room because I got invited to do the teaching, the Bible teaching at this prayer and worship night. And I walk into the room. The bottom section of our sanctuary here seats conservatively 1,400 people plus. I don't think I saw an empty seat. Can you imagine a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock with teenagers filling every seat in the lower section of the sanctuary? It got a little out of control. Our band came out and we told our band, hey, bring whatever you want. So they came out and played Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. I mean, it was awesome. By the end of the service, they had 9-foot beach balls bouncing around in the sanctuary while they're praising God. During the talk, where I was really scared to death that nobody was going to listen because they were buzzing. I mean, you know, they came up to do announcements and half the kids are listening and half the kids are just talking to their friends. And I thought, that's not going to go well. I got up there and you could hear a pin drop. That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit, because these kids are so hungry for the better way, the deeper truth, and the more abundant life that only Jesus provides. Exhibit D, it's what you're doing right now. Don't underestimate it. You are in the Holy Spirit's house. Whatever campus or local site or part of Hope you are right now, you are in the presence of God's Spirit right now. Open your heart. Sleepers awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light upon you. Here's one of our services, our weekly services. That's our Tuesday night page 2 service here at West Des Moines. But we have services at every campus every weekend. Don't miss this. God has something for you. It's the power of his love. It's not some overwhelming, you know, smack you on the head and the ushers have to catch you and then you start shaking around. It's love. It's the love of your Creator and you realizing it. You taking it in so that you move from a religion to a relationship. So that your faith comes alive. This is the clear and exciting vision God has for Lutheran Church of Hope. This is our calling because this is our identity. We are a Holy Spirit-filled church. We are, that's the H, and we are a church that is on a mission from God. Everyone say, on a mission from God. Some of you did that in your Jake and Elwood voice. That was good. We're on a mission from God. That means, of course, social mission, social outreach, global missions. You can sign up for mission trips today here at our West Des Moines campus. In fact, they're at the Connect Grow Serve stations right out in the lobby. You can talk to our mission leaders about that. We take mission trips all over the world. At our other campuses, you can talk to any of the campus pastors or leaders or directors, and they'll get you connected and pointed to a trip that you might be interested in. If global missions isn't your thing, or if that's not your only thing, you can do local missions too. We have mission partners we'll send you to. We have missions here at Hope. We have an outreach night in Ankeny. We have an outreach night here in West Des Moines. We have missions that are going on at all of our campuses, Waukee, Johnston, Grimes, Des Moines, especially in the middle of the city, Ames. Activate your faith. We're on a mission from God. It's who we are. Remember your hope. This is our name. This is our identity, and so this is our call. But it's not just social outreach. If you've been around Hope for 3 months, you know we don't just like have one program a year where we try to do something. They bump into each other and overlap. It's constant. We're always on the move trying to shine God's light to people who are hurting. But it's also invitational outreach. On Wednesday morning, my friend Cal called me at 6-something in the morning. He always called me at 6-something in the morning. Cal's a father figure for me, a mentor, a great leader in this church, our first church council president, the guy who got a bunch of volunteers together at the church when it looked like we wouldn't be able to buy this land here in West Des Moines, and said, I got an idea. He'd always mumble out the side of his mouth. Why don't we get some leaders together? He sounded kind of a little bit like he was in a Western all the time. Because he grew up in Iowa, but he also grew up in the summers as a cowboy in Wyoming. Cal had a really colorful story. He said to me once, I said, Cal, we're not going to be able to get that land, the land West Des Moines folks you're sitting on right now. We can't afford, the banks won't touch us, we can't get a loan. Even the Mission Investment Fund of the place that Cal called the Lutheran Vatican, The Lutheran headquarters in Chicago said, I'm sorry, you just, the numbers don't add up. We can't just throw money away. We can't give you a loan you can't repay. Cal said, well, why don't we get a bunch of people together? We'll go to the Vatican and we'll see how it goes. So he got like 14 of us in a van. We drove the van to Chicago, pulled into the Lutheran Vatican headquarters, went up to the mission investment floor, sat down with Andy Waters, the executive director, and the director said, this is really impressive that you guys came out here, but I'm sorry, I can't help you. Your numbers just don't add up. So Cal, who was sitting right next to him, swiveled his chair in this big conference room, and he says, King, look at me. What if we were just a couple of bumps on a log having to talk about this? And it was like everybody else disappeared, and I don't know how he did it, but 5 minutes later, we had the deal. We went out and got deep dish pizza, we got home, and now here we are worshiping on this land that's 100% paid for and building and doesn't have a penny in it. Cal Holton. He would not be happy if he knew I was praising him like this. Oh well, too bad. So Cal called me Wednesday morning at 6 something. He says, you awake? He said, I am now. I said, how you doing, Chief? I always called him Chief. He earned it. Father figure, mentor for me. How you doing, Chief? Expecting him to say what he always says. Oh, I'm good. Just checking in, see how you're doing. He might read me his devotional from his AA book today. He's also the reason we do so many recovery ministries here at Hope. He got them all started. He said, I'm not doing too good. First time I'd ever heard him say that, ever. What do you mean? They just diagnosed me with cancer. And today I'm meeting with the doctors to talk about treatment. Oh, Cal. We talked and we prayed and I texted him some scripture. And the next morning, sure enough, 6 something, my phone's ringing, it's Cal. His name pops up, only it's not Cal. It's his wife, Mary. He says, Mike, Cal died an hour ago. 24 years ago, in the summer of 1993, early fall, I knocked on the door of Cal's house, making cold calls. I was going around the neighborhood, begging anybody who'd talk to me to please come to this church and check it out. When I got to Cal's house, he was kind, he was friendly. He says, you should go talk to my neighbors over there. They're messed up, they need church. and you should definitely go get those, you out of Sunday school? He said, you need to get those kids over there to Sunday school, they need to go. I said, what about you, do you have a church? He says, no, I'm a member somewhere, but I don't go. So, well, why don't you come? No, not interested, but I'll invite my neighbors. He wasn't kidding. So we're meeting at the chapel at Living History Farms back then. That Sunday, 3 families show up. And when you're worshiping an average of 12 people and 3 new families show up, you notice. And every single one of them said, Cal sent me. So where's Cal? He's not coming. He doesn't go to church. The next week, 2 or 3 more families. The next week, 2 or 3 more families. And they all kept coming back. Because of Cal inviting his friends, our attendance, he single-handedly did this. Our attendance went from 12 to over 50 in 1 month. And still no sign of Cal. The following Sunday was this Sunday, the third Sunday in October. And we knew, just like Ames today, can't get into their building. We knew we couldn't get into the chapel because they're having a quilting auction at Living History Farms in the chapel. So I said to the reservationist, put us anywhere. And she put us in an old, unheated, cold barn. So we thought, oh, we're creative. We'll have Christmas in October. And because, you know, Jesus is almost born in a barn. So here we go. We're going to have this whole thing. It's going to be great. We woke up in the morning and it was 45 degrees. Cal showed up for the first time, not wearing a coat. Nobody told him we wouldn't be in a heated building. Mike Horseman, our choir director here in West Des Moines, sang some songs, led the worship. You know, we're moving then, so we're okay. Then they all sat down, and I started to preach, and 5 minutes into my sermon, I noticed half the church is shivering. For the once and only time in my whole ministry, I stopped the sermon after 5 minutes. Some of you are like, turn the heat off. Or let everyone shiver. Maybe he'll stop. And I said, Mike, come up here and sing a song. He sang a song. Everybody's going home after about a 20-minute service. Cal walks up to me. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, well, that was interesting. I'll see you next week, and I'll bring more friends. And I don't think he missed a Sunday after that, until he moved to Texas, unless he was out of town. Always at the chapel service, because he wasn't so sure about drums and guitars and all that stuff. But always here, always faithful, a great leader. I would see Cal almost every Sunday before the chapel service. I'd see him out by the doors, the front doors of the chapel. And at first I said, Cal, what are you doing? He says, oh, I invited somebody. I'm waiting to meet them. I hope they come. When's the last time you stood at the front doors of the church waiting for somebody you invited to come who doesn't go to church? You're on a mission from God. This is who we are. This is our identity. We aren't here just to consume. We're here to serve and to give and to be the church. To be a Lutheran Church of Hope means that we're on a mission from God. That's the O. It means we're Holy Spirit filled. It also means that we're going to be outreach oriented when it comes to digital outreach. I want to invite Mark Brandt to come up. Everyone say, hi, Mark.
Hi.
A lot of you know Mark. He was our cool youth director for 74 years here at Hope. And then he has now transitioned several years ago now into online ministry. So he's the guy most of you see at our online services every week, hosting the services from right upstairs in the booth here at West Des Moines. I asked Mark to come up and spend just a few minutes telling us about the exciting future of digital outreach through Hope.
Yeah, because this is your story, church. I mean, you're sitting in here in this space, but I want you to know what God is up to in that online realm, because some really cool things are happening. Like Mike said, I did student for several years. I stopped being cool about age 25, and I realized it by age 38.
That's not true. No, you're still cooler than
well,
me.
Sort of. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. No. But my heart started to bleed for this idea of this digital online world. Who are these folks? Because we started broadcasting our 11 a.m. service to the world, and numbers started to climb a little bit, and people are watching. I'm like, who would watch us, and where are they watching from, and what's their story? I'm a kid that came back to church late in life because I was invited, and so I have a heart for those people. One of our core values, lost people matter to God, so they matter to us. So I was trying to figure out who they were. So the stream is going out to the world, and I kind of had a thought one day, what if we greeted them and said hi to them? Now, in this online church world, there's no best practices yet. We're still figuring this out. When I talk to people that do what I do, it's still trial and error, and it's so much fun because of that, because there's a lot of innovation that's happening. And so I just said, and it was an Ash Wednesday, I thought, there's only 100 and so people watching on Ash Wednesday, and so I said, let's try putting a camera up in the room up there, and I'll just turn the camera on, and I'll say hello. And so we did. I said, hey, we're so glad you're here. We believe it's no accident. We've been praying for you. And I got an email back from somebody that said, that was so cool that you said hi to us online. I mean, now we have a face attached to this. I mean, people want to be known. And today, I've gotten experts to come alongside me now that do this. Eric Hansen, who's from Channel 8, he was my volunteer today up there. And I told him at one time, I said, I have huge respect for what you guys do, because when that light goes on and you just have to start talking and you can't take it back, it's very daunting. I mean, he's a professional. I'm just a novice. But it's fun to be able to connect to these folks. So fast forward a bit, and we're starting to see those numbers grow to almost 1,000 or so computers watching. I have no idea still, who these folks are, because a computer IP address is all that I see. I don't see a face like I can see all of you right here. So I start to have people check in, and I want to get to know who they are. And so people started to check in, like Joan from Colorado Springs, who's probably watching right now. She's one of them. I'm famous in Colorado Springs, by the way.
That's good.
Just kidding. And Dave Radiker down at Sun Valley. There's a lot of folks that I see on a regular basis that are checking in online. And some of those folks started to ask some big, bold questions. What would it look like for Hope to come to where we are? Because the story of the church is not as good in some places. And we have a responsibility, I think. Church, we're blessed to be a blessing. As much as Mike wants you to reach out to folks around you, we're reaching out online. And so folks reached out and said, hey, can we come, or can we watch online together? And a group in Forest City started this whole local site concept. They got the YMCA community room up there, and they opened the doors, they turned on the stream, 100% of it, and invited people to show up, and 30 people started showing up. Now they're over 50 on a weekly basis, meeting to watch 100% of this service on a screen. And just to give you a glimpse of what this looks like, they do just that. So, like, if something cool happens, they clap, which is a marvel, because, like, they can't hear you on the screen. You know, if Mike says, let's read this together, they read it aloud. They're not just watching this, they're engaging in this because they're a part of a bigger story now. So then fast forward, Ames finds out about that, and John Hill and a group up there said, what if you came to Ames? And I said, why not? I mean, these are people that are outside of a drivable radius to one of our campuses. And so Ames started the same way Forest City did, and they grew to a point where they are now a campus, and Danny's up there, and God's doing great things in that city. But we're not stopping there. I mean, this is the fun part. I get to dream now. I've got a whiteboard where I just write stuff on there and figure out, okay, God, what's next? So Forest City asked about Power Life. They had some junior high students now, and they wanted to do confirmation. So they're getting 7 kids together on a Wednesday night to take confirmation class on a screen, which is totally native to these kids. Like, they spend 10 hours a day on screens. So this is totally cool to them, whereas we would think, why would you want to take confirmation on a screen? But they're doing it.
There are worse things they could do on screen.
Oh, absolutely. Trust me. This is really exciting. So now, my heart has always been for the local church. I want to see churches revitalized. I mean, where we can do this is fantastic, but where we can come alongside folks, I think, is even more exciting. And so some members of Hope that moved back to State Center, Kevin and Mary Lazard, they have a son who's doing pretty good right now for a team up north. So I'm a Hawkeye, so I'm representing today in sort of good things. But they said, you know, what if we brought that to our church? They have a pastor up there. Her name is Pastor Joan. She's an amazing woman. We sat down over the Synod Convention here in West Des Moines, and we just talked about this. I said, Hope's never done this before in a church where there's a pastor that's called and committed to ministry there. But she said, look, I'm prepping sermons on a weekly basis for my weekend. I can't do Wednesday night. Can we bring in your Wednesday night service, and we'll invite families throughout State Center to come and be a part of this? They have 75 people showing up weekly on Wednesday nights just to watch Wednesday night ministry, and then they break into small groups, from adults down to 4-year-olds. And I'm going to go up and visit them in a couple of weeks and just, you know, hang out with them and see how it's going, because they also serve a meal beforehand, and they're doing church. This is the exciting realm that you all have birthed because of what God is doing in and through you, and because of the privilege that I get to be a part of. We have an assisted living community here in West Des Moines. Manor Care is now watching one of our rebroadcasts. We actually rebroadcast our full service at various times throughout Sunday and into Monday, and they're getting their clients or their residents together to watch this in their community room there, and I'm hoping maybe we can get some other assisted living facilities to possibly do this. I have folks reaching out to me from Phoenix that would love to see, you know, if we could bring, you know, Hope down there to the winter birds. I'm like, well, if it gets me to Phoenix, I'm good with that.
If Hope Honolulu ever pops up,
the only people that check in from Hawaii are all you all that are on, like, vacation. You're like, we're checking in from the beach.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, we're happy for you.
Great. Well, I'm sitting here.
If people are interested, Mark, how do they get a hold of you? Because somebody might be hearing this and say, hey, I'd like to get a group together, start a house church, or maybe become a local site or something else. Well, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, just reach out to us at connect@hopeonline.tv. Local site ministry was really started because we couldn't do campuses everywhere. You want to have, you know, a large group of people to really start a campus and be able to sustain that. A local site is a model that works from anywhere to 10 people to 100.
Yep.
And if you want to get together in people's houses, we have a few fledgling groups that are starting to kind of pop up that I'm excited about that I can't really talk about yet because they're not really official. We're still kind of getting to know them, and they're getting to know us. But if that's you, if you're out there watching online, you'd love to bring. We are also exploring some other ways to reach out online through social media. We're going to possibly beta test an online alpha group this winter with folks around the country that'll be led by somebody here in West Des Moines on a computer talking with them. It's exciting stuff. The nice thing about this is it's not like I have to say, well, we've never done that before, so forget that. No, it's truly, why not? And so we're trying a lot of things and having a lot of fun because I think God is up to some really cool things in the digital realm, and we should be there because people are there. And wherever the people are, the church should be.
And we've got a good and faithful leader with you, Mark. You're still cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice job. Give him a big hand. Thanks, Mark. Thanks. Why show up in the digital world? Because the church needs to be where people hang out. We need to bring the gospel to places where people are. Paul puts it this way. He says, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. This is our mission. This is who we are. We're on a mission from God. We're Holy Spirit filled. The last two parts of P, I'm going to sum up in 1 minute. We're pursuing a third way. I've preached about this a lot over the last few weeks. If you're new to Hope Today, you can download the sermons digitally on our website or our Hope app and find them there. In a summary form, I will say this. We live in a divided culture where people demonize the opposition, and we can no longer continue to do that. We've got to learn how to disagree with people without dismissing them. We've got to learn to find a third way. We've got to learn to find a Christ-centered way to passionately debate issues that we care deeply about. There's nothing wrong with that, but this dismissiveness, this demonizing of the other side, it's not Christ-centered. It's not who we are. We're pursuing a third way, a better way, a deeper truth, a more abundant life. It's why we do things like One Church in this community. Even though it's not always easy or smooth, it's why we have listening groups. It's why we reach out to the whole world around us, because the church was not created to be a moral judgment seat nearly as much as we were called to be a place that transforms the world. Martin Luther King put it this way, the great pastor, not just civil rights leader, but he was a pastor. He said, there was a time when the church was very powerful. In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was a thermostat that transformed society. Too often, the church gets minimized, and we think the whole point of the church is to tell people whether they're right or wrong morally, or to take stands on all these different issues, like that's the most important thing we could do. With all due respect, we've got a higher calling. We're here to transform the world. The power of God's love. We're here to be the hope of the world, not a bunch of moral judgmentalist, holier-than-thou religious people. We're here to take the love of Jesus Christ and take it in and let it pour out of us. The H is for Holy Spirit filled. The O is for on a mission from God. The P is for pursuing a third way, a more faithful way. And the E we've already talked about. Is engaging new generations. In our student ministries, our college ministry, Kairos up in Ames, our young adult ministry here in West Des Moines, and we're talking about branching that out to other campuses too, called Revive. This is who we are. Remember your name. You're Lutheran Church of Hope. You're Lutheran, Bible-based, grace-based, Christ-centered. You're a church. You. It's you, the people. What you do is what the church does. Your hope, your Holy Spirit filled, you're on a mission from God. You're pursuing a third way. You're engaging new generations. In fact, I want to make sure you've got that down. What does the H stand for? What's your name, Hope? I feel like I'm my mom now. What's your name? What's the H for? You are Holy Spirit filled. What's the O? You are on a mission from God. What's the P? You are pursuing a third way. You are E. What's the E? Engaging new generations. Get it? Good. Go do it. Go be the church. Let's stand up and sing. I'll turn it over to the campus pastors. Let's worship the Lord, and then let's go be the church.